Welcome to the Sis Collective, the podcast. I'm your host, Samantha, mindset mentor, wellbeing practitioner, and your new soul sister. Here to bring you all things wellness, personal development, and mindset. This podcast is designed to nourish your soul, up-level your mindset, and unleash your inner potential so you can rise up to your next level. I'm on a mission to bring modern-day conscious women together. So if that's you, welcome to your brand new sisterhood. So take a seat and come join us inside the Sis Collective. Hello, beautiful souls. Welcome back to another episode. And today we're going to talk about something a little bit different. So I put a poll on my Instagram last week that basically said, what do we want to hear on the podcast? What are you guys looking for? And I had an idea for quite a specific episode. And then I said, what about something more general, mindset, mental health orientated? And actually that came out on top. Everyone wanted something that was a little bit more tangible, some tips, some support around mental health. So I took that away and I was like, what is going to be most useful? Like, I don't want to just talk at you guys and just talk generally about mental health. I thought, what could I do that's going to be really tangible, give you some takeaways, and actually be a useful episode? So if you haven't seen the title, I'm sharing the magic three for your mental health. And I'm going to go into detail about how to do each of these in the podcast. But I just wanted to give you a few updates before we dive straight in. Okay, so updates. The first thing I wanted to share is that the website's going to be coming out really, really soon. So really, really excited for that. Stay tuned for that. I actually had a little bit of a difficult time with the domain. I'm not really sure what happened. I don't know if when I first bought the domain, perhaps it generated an email address or something along those lines. But when I went to register a new email address with the new domain, it just kept telling me it was in use and that I couldn't use it. And it was getting really, really frustrating because I really wanted to create the new email address and new contacts so that you're able to officially contact and email us as a company, as a brand. So I was really, really excited to get that done. And it took a couple of days and trying to go here back and forth with Google and all of that. And eventually we got it sorted. So officially we have an email address, info@thesiscollective.com. So I'm really, really excited to finally be able to share that with you guys. And that's going to be a place where you can email any of your queries. Once we're able to launch a couple of things later on this year and early next year, you'll be able to contact through that. But also as well as a place where you can email and get in touch, even if it's just ideas for things like the podcast, topics that you want to hear about, support that you would love to have on the podcast, then that's going to be really, really useful for us as well now that we have that email address. So I'm super, super excited that that is finally done and we can start moving on to that the next chapter. Alongside that as well, I think I mentioned in the last episode that I wanted to start building our community. So I really, really wanted to start creating a bit of a community through email as well. If you do want to sign up, you do want to join us. It's going to be, you know, weekly emails. It might start out fortnightly at first, but it's going to be mindset tips. It's going to be support direct to your inbox. You'll be able to reply to that and we'll be able to get in touch and respond to you personally as well. So yeah, really, really excited about that. So if you are interested in joining, definitely drop us an email because then we can add you to the mailing list and you can be a part of our growing community. It just makes me so happy to see things expanding. Our community on Instagram is getting bigger and bigger by the day. And it just makes me so grateful because I really feel like with this new rebrand and where we're at, just feel so much more aligned and I just feel so much more excited for where things are going. So apologies if you can hear the washing machine in the background. This was just the opportunity that I had to take to record at this point. So yeah, if you can hear that, I am very, very sorry, but we are just gonna roll with it. So let's dive into the kind of meat of the episode today. And I think what I wanted to start with is talking a little bit about our mental health in general, because people forget that it's just as important as your physical health. And we so often make time for that. We so often sort of in society, it's very, very normalized to make time for the gym, make time for working out, moving your body, keeping yourself healthy. but you don't always hear a lot of people talking about how to keep yourself mentally healthy, mentally well. And it is just as important. And I mean, it is all linked. Like if you, you know, move your body, look after your body, you're more likely to have a better well-being, because generally they are linked. And walking and looking after your body and working out, all of that sort of stuff releases all the good endorphins, dopamine, that sort of thing. So you're gonna feel better from looking after your body. But I think it's really, really important to think about just why looking after our mental health is so key. And I think a big part of that is because we don't know what to do. Like we don't know how to kind of keep ourselves mentally well day by day. We don't know how to manage when perhaps we're getting anxious thoughts or anxious feelings. We don't really know what to do with those. So sometimes that can feel really hard to be like, well, I don't know how to keep myself mentally well if I don't really know what to do with those feelings or those anxious thoughts when they arise. So today is kind of a little bit about that. I wanted to give you a specific tool for a couple of different areas. And the reason why I wanted to do that is because I think it becomes a lot easier to start looking after your mental health when you've got some tangible tools. And I think that's the key with looking after yourself and keeping yourself well, is having the right tools and resources at your fingertips. I'm a firm believer in self-healing. I do believe that we can all turn our lives around. And that's not to say that if it does feel impossible right now and you need to seek guidance or you need to seek extra support, that is so, so important. And I highly, highly, highly recommend that. But I also believe that we do have power within ourselves to support ourselves and turn our own lives around with the right tools and the right strategies. And then you kind of start creating like a bit of a toolbox of different resources that you have that support you, that help you to feel better. And I think that's the key. That's where we can start really looking after our mental well-being day by day, when we almost have that toolbox in front of us and going, okay, what can I use today that's going to help me get rid of these anxious thoughts that I'm having at the moment, or get rid of this funny feeling in my stomach? What are going to be the things that are going to just help me to feel better and to feel a little bit more like myself? I think it's important to caveat that what I share today, not all of these might resonate, and that's okay too. I would still suggest that you kind of keep yourself open-minded and definitely try things out. I think we can often think, once we've tried something once or twice and we're like, well, that doesn't work, that we then just assume that it's not for us, or we just assume that we don't resonate with that kind of strategy, for example, like a thought strategy, a thinking strategy. But I also want to just say that sometimes as well, when we are trying out something new, it doesn't really feel like it's working because it feels a little bit new, feels a little bit like stiff or a bit sticky. It doesn't really feel like it's doing anything. And actually, that's kind of the case with everything at the start. Any strategy or anything that you're doing is going to feel a little bit hard. Like you can imagine it, like if you haven't been to the gym in years, that first time going is going to feel really uncomfortable, really sticky, not that great, unless you're, you know, super, super motivated and you might run in and be super excited about going, but then give it a week or 2 weeks, that novelty wears off, then you might get that stickiness feeling. You might get that like, oh, it doesn't really feel like it is going, you know, I'm in motion. So what I will say is anything that I do share today, practice, give it a go, like stay open-minded. Because what tends to happen is when you do give something an actual go, you do try it several times, your brain makes an association with it. So for example, if you went for a run when you felt anxious and you had all those anxious thoughts and you went, right, I'm going to go for a run to clear my head. And, you know, you came back and obviously that gave you a bit of a reset. You'd be like, okay, cool, that was really helpful. The next time you had those anxious thoughts, you're like, right, okay, I'm going to go for a run, I'm going to clear my head. And it, you know, it works again. And, you know, you were distracted and you were able to move on from it. Eventually, what's going to happen is that when you feel anxious, you'd crave a run. And that's because you've built that association, maybe not purposefully, but that's what's happening within your brain because you've connected those neurons and you've wired them together. So every time you feel that certain way, you're going to probably crave to do the run. So that's why I say any strategy that you told about or someone shares with you, do give it a go, because the more times you try it, the more you're going to kind of wire those neurons together, and it's more likely to make you feel a certain way. If something makes you feel calm, it's also really, really good to kind of reiterate that self to you and almost tell yourself that you're feeling that, like, oh, I feel so good that I tried that new strategy. I'm feeling so much calmer now. And again, you're teaching your brain to feel calm with that strategy. And this is kind of that like kind of cool placebo effect, I guess, where like any strategy in the world really can help you if you've told yourself it feels good, and it actually has helped you to feel a little bit calmer in the moment. Perhaps it's distracted you from your thoughts, or it's just moved you away from your body and into more into the present moment. Reminding yourself that that's worked is then wiring that in. So then when you feel a certain way, that's going to be the first thing that comes to your mind, is going to be to try that strategy again. So anyway, I'm kind of going off into the science of like why these sort of things work or why people don't give them a go. But anyway, I am actually going to dive in to the meat of the episode. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to share with you kind of a strategy from different areas. So I'm basically thinking mind, body, soul, right? Categorize these in these different areas. And the reason I've done this is because this gives us a different tangible strategy for different areas, but they're all going to help us when we feel sad, anxious, any of those feelings that feel quite overwhelming. You can pick and choose whether you want to try a mind strategy, a body strategy, a soul strategy to help you move on from that. And I felt like that was quite a nice way to think about it, because all of these in your toolbox are going to be really useful, but it's so helpful to have a variety in your toolbox. So if you have never thought about what you use to help you feel better, like ever, then this is literally your starter kit. And then after this, you can start playing around with other ideas. There's so many different ideas you could Google on the internet, like CBT strategies, all this sort of thing that you've heard about, you know, everyone knows about things like breathing, that sort of thing, that help. But then you can add them to your toolbox and try them out and see which ones work for you. And that's the key to really looking after your mental well-being every day, is being able to have all of them in one place. And when I say toolbox, right, and maybe there's some of you that are thinking like, are you talking about like a physical toolbox, like a mental toolbox, like what are you talking about? And so I like to say like mental toolbox, but actually some people who are quite like strategy, physical things, sometimes have like physical toolboxes. So it's almost like a little, you know, a little box, a little thing where you might have written down little notes, you might have affirmations in there, you might have even like some sensory stuff, things that help you to feel a little bit calmer. All of that sort of thing, you can start building your own. Call it something that resonates with you. It could be like your self-care box, your tuning in box. I don't know, something that resonates. But actually having that can be really useful. But when I think about this, for me, I think of like a mental one. So I think about what helps me, and I kind of like imagine like my little toolbox of strategies, and I think about, okay, which one should I try out today? What's going to help me to feel a little bit better and move through this? And what I will say as well is that I think a lot of people don't see their mental health as like a continuum. I think we kind of think about it being, I definitely think I've talked about this on the podcast before, but I think we can think about like, I'm either, you know, a really anxious person and I identify this as my identity, or I'm not. Or like, I'm having a really anxious day and there's nothing I can do about it and I just got to ride it out. Or I'm having a really, really good day. Like almost kind of seeing it quite like black and white and quite rigid. And I do see that a lot with people who experience anxiety, who really see it as like a part of them and see themselves as an anxious person. And I really try and help people to kind of move away from that idea that it's who you are in some way and it's some sort of identity, because quite frankly, it's nothing to do with you. Your whole personality and the wonderfulness that you are is like so much more than just kind of reducing yourself to saying I'm an anxious person, right? I really do feel like we all can have a tendency to be anxious, but that doesn't mean that that's our personality and that's who we are. So I like to see it as kind of more of a continuum and be like, you kind of move maybe up the scale where you're feeling a little bit more anxious. But if, you know, you feel a bit more anxious one day, I believe you can pull that back down and you can help yourself to feel a little bit more neutral and a little bit more stable with the right tools, putting in the right things that are going to help you to feel better, rather than just thinking, you know, I'm on my period, or it's a time of the month or whatever, or I've had a stressful week at work and I don't have any control about that. That's made me feel anxious. So I don't have any control about that. And it's like, well, actually, you know, life is a continuum. We're going to have those stressful days. We're going to have those stressful weeks. You know, the time of the month can really affect a lot of us, but actually we can still move ourselves to a better headspace and a better well-being state, again, with the right tools and strategies. So I have blabbered on. So I'm going to dive into the different tools that I'm going to share with you. The first one is going to be your mind tool. And this is a strategy that I absolutely love. And this is a CBT-based principle. It's something that I do a lot with clients that I work with, but also something I've done for myself so many times. And it's just such a powerful tool to help you move through anxious thoughts. And the idea of it is that our thoughts aren't us. Our thoughts are kind of a set of automatic programs, and they, you know, go on throughout our minds each and every day. And I think I've said before, you know, a lot of our thoughts are repetitive. A lot of our thoughts are kind of from the day before, and they just kind of eke into the next day and the next day. And before you know it, you're kind of running, your mind is running on like a set of automatic programs, a set of ways of thinking that is kind of accidentally been taught, has been ingrained. But what's really positive about that is that if we've accidentally taught ourselves to think a certain way, then we can shift that, gently unpick that, and start teaching yourself a new way of thinking. The biggest mistake I see with people who are feeling sort of anxious thoughts or something like that is thinking it's who they are, is thinking that they identify with that thought as their own. So the first thing is to think about taking the thought out of your head, right? Taking, like, detaching yourself from that thought, because that thought isn't you. It's a program, it's a wired in thought pattern. It doesn't mean it's actually you or represents you in any way. So you kind of start taking yourself away from it and becoming the observer of that. And that can take a lot of practice and time in itself to start teaching your brain to feel like, hang on a minute, I just heard that. I just heard myself say, I'm stupid, or I'm no good, or I can't do that, or everyone's gonna laugh at me if I do that thing. I just heard myself say that. So when you hear it, you catch it, and then you're able to observe it. And the way I like to do this is like getting it down on paper and literally taking your thought to court. So it's a really, really fun strategy that helps you to basically start to challenge the thought that you have in your mind. So for example, say you, I know a lot of people who listen are people who want to do like businesses, or who are entrepreneurs, or on Instagram, that sort of thing. So that's what's going to kind of come to my mind. But say, for example, you're like, I really want to build like an Instagram following. Like, I have this kind of dream to grow on social media. Maybe I want to be an influencer. I want to do YouTube, anything like that. But I am so, so terrified that everyone's going to laugh at me. Everyone's going to judge me. Like, the comments are going to be filled with hate comments. Like, I'm just so scared of that. That is the thought that you're kind of observing and you're looking at. And what I want you to do is kind of write down and think about, where is the truth in that thought? So you're literally taking it to court. The thought is in the courtroom. The thought is sitting there in the box, and you are actually kind of scrutinizing it a little bit. You're like, where is the evidence for this? Why on earth am I believing this thought? Why am I allowing myself to believe this? Where is the proof? Come on, let's find the proof. So you can write down everything that makes you think that this is truth, that everything that makes you think that this is believable, right? And that might be that you've seen other people have that experience, or it might be that, you know, one person laughed at you when you were 5 and that made you feel really, really stupid. And so then that made you lose your confidence in, you know, showing up in that sort of way and exposing yourself. And you actually kind of challenge why you've allowed yourself to believe this thought. Why have you allowed yourself to identify with it? And you also then have to think about, well, what is the evidence against? If you're allowing yourself to believe this and you're thinking, well, this is why I've believed it. This is why we're here, why I'm stopping it from letting me do what I want to do. Well, you also need to think about, well, what's the evidence against? Why on earth is this thought a load of rubbish. What can we see within this thought that doesn't actually make it true or valid, right? And then we need to think about why that's not valid. Well, actually, there's loads of people that are doing that, following their dreams, and, you know, have really great communities. People are really, really supportive. Actually, sometimes people who make you feel really bad or do hate comments are just trolls anyway. And, you know, they don't have a lot that they're excited about. So they kind of thrive through bringing other people down. All of that sort of thing. I want you to really think about why you wouldn't believe this. There's a lot of really helpful resources online where you can actually, basically just say, like, putting your thoughts on trial, taking your thoughts to court. You'll get loads of different people talking about it and, like, different worksheets and stuff. If you're quite a visual person, that can be really, really useful. So we thought about what is the for, what is the against? And actually, that's thinking about what is the defense and what is the prosecution, right? Where is the evidence for the thought? Where is the evidence against the thought? And actually, when you go back to your evidence, your so-called evidence, you can actually look at it again through kind of a new lens. Once you've allowed yourself to really write down those things, that the why you defended it, why you kind of thought the way you did, and why that, like, for example, you know, the when you were 5 years old, someone made you feel stupid, that sort of thing. I want you then to go back over and actually highlight what is actually an interpretation or an opinion or a guess that you think people will think, for example. I want you to highlight that and actually draw out from the evidence that you created, what is an actual verifiable fact? What is actual fact? And this is where some people get really stuck, because they think, well, that experience happened when I was five, but is my remembering of it actually accurate? Like, is my interpretation of that event actually skewed my memory? Has it actually made me think that was definitely, you know, the case, that's what happened, when in actual fact I'm probably forgetting a couple of other details, or I've kind of wiped over that with the memory of what I believe happened? And in actual fact, is there actually a possibility that it was wrong, you know? Is there a possibility that you felt everyone laughed, or you felt everyone was laughing at you, when actually they were laughing at another person? They were laughing at the person who was making silly faces behind you and you didn't know, or they were laughing at the other person for being stupid and not at you, even though you were the one standing up in the room, you know, all of that sort of things. I really want you to sit down and be like, actually, you know, I'm seeing where I've interpreted things. I'm seeing where that actually this was mainly an opinion and not a verifiable fact. And this is a different to your kind of prosecution, your evidence against, because actually it's less opinion based and less interpretation based. I mean, you can feel like, okay, actually, I can see where people have support. I can see people who've got really good communities. I can see people who are really, really genuine and, you know, showing up in this space in a genuine way seem to have support for that. I can see that. That's not necessarily my interpretation. I think I can see that as a valid fact right now. Whereas things in the past and things when you're a child, you can kind of see sometimes it might be a little bit more warped how you've interpreted them. So another thing I like to do as well is, when you're looking at these thoughts here, this isn't something that we're necessarily going into loads of detail now, but actually I just want you to think about, are these thoughts helpful? Are these thoughts perhaps falling into a certain thinking trap, a certain negative thinking pattern? And again, you could Google these and think, like, what are negative thinking patterns? Things like black and white thinking, where it's like, is this or that, or things like mental filtering, where you have all of this wonderful evidence, all of this beautiful kind of spectrum of color coming into your life, but then you filter it out and you only see the white, for example, the black. These are kind of patterns of thinking that we accidentally kind of wire ourselves into when we're starting to feel a little bit more anxious. So I want you to think about, could this be explained by a negative thought pattern? Could this be explained by something else, the reason I've had that thought? And actually, is that serving me, or is that actually really, really unhelpful? So then what you're going to do is you're going to come up with the judge's verdict, and that's going to be whether you think that the thought is accurate, whether you think it's there. Are there other thoughts that could explain the facts? So what we've written down in the evidence for the thought, if you have found verifiable facts there, are actually other things that could explain that, are there other thoughts that could explain that are more helpful? And what you kind of want to do is with this process, start to detach yourself a little bit from that thought. You start looking at it in such a kind of objective way where you're really looking at that for and against and thinking about whether that thought is even worth keeping, right? Whether that thought is serving you in any way. And a lot of the times people forget that the reason we have a lot of anxious thoughts and a lot of anxious thinking is because essentially our brain is trying to protect us. It is trying to protect us from danger, from situations that we might experience danger, like embarrassment, humiliation, all of those sort of things. So these thoughts aren't bad. You know, they have served a purpose. They have protected you from doing things that could potentially have put you in that, you know, hypothetical danger. But actually, in the long run, you start to realize that then they are keeping you from a lot of other things as well. They're keeping you from doing things that are really on your heart. They're keeping you from following your dreams. They're keeping you from doing things that light you up. And actually, that's when you really do need to start challenging them, because not challenging them leads us to continue to kind of build on them and snowball. And that's where they get deeper and deeper entrenched over time. And you start to really, really see yourself as a person who can't do X, Y, and Z, rather than catching the thoughts and start objectively thinking about yourself in a different way. And of course, this does sometimes feel easier said than done. But again, this goes back to my first point of just practice catching them and practicing writing them down and thinking, what is the evidence for this? Why do I think this way? What's the evidence against? Can this thought be better described in another way? Like, is there another, you know, reason for this thought? Is this thought helpful? Is it serving me? And don't put it serving you because it's protecting you. Well, yes, but we were like, actually, is it serving you in any other way? That's what we want to think about. And the likelihood is that no, it's not. It's stopping you living out what you want to do. And that's where it's time to ditch the thought and send it on its way. Say, right, judge verdict, this is not fair, not accurate. You thought you are going to prison forever. You bang your little, whatever it's called, the judge's thing, and that's it. Bye-bye. You know, the thought might come back, the more thought might come fighting, his friends might come over and start fighting again on another day and trying to push through for another trial, all of that jazz. Just keep going through the process, keep going through the process and keep practicing letting go of those thoughts. So that's my first one. That's my first one that I'm sharing with you for your mind. The next one that I'm going to share with you is going to be for your body. This is a body tool. I want us to really think about this in terms of our nervous system regulation. So when we feel anxious, especially, but, you know, other mental health states, low mood, all that sort of thing, can put us in other places. It can make us feel, we can feel quite angry, we could feel frustrated, we can feel all these other things as well alongside when we're not feeling our best. But generally, when we feel anxious, it starts to put us in a bit more of a fight-flight-freeze state. And then what happens is our nervous system becomes dysregulated. And this, as I was just saying, this isn't really just when we feel anxious. This could be when we've got tight deadlines at work, when we're feeling stressed, when we have to give a presentation. All of these different scenarios can put us in that sort of state and end up making ourselves feel quite dysregulated. And your body is doing its best to try and prepare you to manage that situation. And the way it does that is obviously getting your heart racing, getting your palms sweating. our body's fight-flight-freeze response is going back centuries and centuries and centuries and hasn't really changed that much. So your deadlines at work and giving a presentation is going to give you that same exact feeling as though you were being chased after by a tiger, right? So actually, it's trying to prepare you for that, and the only way it knows it can. But what tends to happen is if you've got a lot of deadlines or you've got a lot going on at work and you put your body in a constant state of stress, that's when problems can start arising with your own health. And that's where things start to get out of balance. And we need to know how we can bring ourselves back to balance and bring ourselves back to be able to regulate ourselves. And the way we need to do that is we need to be able to reset the fight, flight, freeze state and get ourselves back to a natural rhythm. So there's so many ways you can do this. And again, like I said, you know, Google is your friend if you want to explore more and you want to get a little bit more strategies and ways of supporting yourself. But there's also so many different things that are like so obvious, but have a massive, massive impact on regulating your nervous system day by day. And that is literally like getting enough sleep, eating well, reducing as many stresses in your environment as possible. So delegating things, getting rid of things that feel like they're really causing you a lot of stress. All of that plays a massive, massive role in regulating your nervous system. All of that is going to make a big difference over time. Definitely think about those as well, generally, about how you can support your body. But a very specific tool that I'd like to give you is actually something, again, that's a CBT-based principle to help you regulate your body and give it a signal that actually things are okay and you're no longer in danger. And the strategy is called progressive muscle relaxation. And what it does is it involves tensing and then relaxing certain muscles to then relieve the tension in your body. So when your body's gone into that fight, flight, freeze, and all of those internal things are happening, the internal system is working. So your heart's racing. As we said, your palms get sweaty. You might need to go to the toilet. You might get like really narrow vision. You might get butterflies in your stomach. All of these different symptoms that you've gone into that state. So again, really useful tip there. If you notice that in yourself, you notice your body in that state, there's a clue that you're feeling really anxious or stressed about something. If you find it a lot easier to tap into your body than you do your thoughts, that can be your gateway. That can be your way in by going, okay, I'm feeling something in my body. I'm sensing some signals. I need to sit down, give myself 5-10 minutes to see if I can access what those anxious thoughts are. And likelihood is there's always going to be anxious thoughts there. If your body has gone into that state, they are there, but it's just being able to sit down and get quiet enough where perhaps they're all a jumble of thoughts and you actually pinpoint the ones that you're thinking. This is why I love journaling, because the amount of times that I don't know what I'm thinking until I sit down and I just write, and then I'm like, whoa, I was thinking that. That was not in my conscious. I wasn't aware I was thinking that. So really, really powerful. If you notice that in your body, that can be your gateway to thinking about, okay, what are the thoughts here? What can I try and find? But anyway, back to the muscle relaxation. So it's really about tensing and relaxing so that you can relieve that tension, as we said. And it's really, really simple, but is also really, really effective. And what's also quite nice about this one is that you can practice different ones and find which ones align with you and that feel good to you, because there's going to be loads of different ones and I'm not going to go through all of them. But again, Google's your best friend. Go and have a look. Google progressive muscle relaxation and you're going to get like all the different parts of the body that you can do. Ones that I like to do that I think are really, really subtle and really, really helpful will involve like your legs as you're sitting and your hands. So things that you can do is when you're sitting down is to sit up really, really straight. I'm just going to do this with you as I'm talking so I can feel it in my own body. You're going to sit up in your chair really, really straight. If you are sitting down now, this is a really good time to practice. And you are going to dig your feet, like your heels, you're going to push them really hard into the ground. And you might feel that sensation run up your calf, that kind of tension run up your calf. And you're going to try and hold that for a good 5 to 10 seconds. The longer, the better. Really, really squeezing, really, really creating that tension. And then what you're going to do is then release. There's lots of different ways of visualizing this. Like people think about pushing your toes in the sand. I think about like pushing my heels in and like imagining the ground like pushing away from me, and I keep digging them in and then letting go. And you might think, well, why is tensing the muscles actually going to help me? It sounds a little bit counterintuitive, but because you're already tense and your muscles are already stressed and you're already in that state of fight, flight, freeze, when you tense up really, really tightly, you're telling your body that you're doing it, that you're actually using that energy. So you're almost kind of acting out the fight, flight, freeze. So like, for example, if you're tensing really, really hard, that could be that sensation of like when you've punched something, you've hit a wall, that's like that tension and then release. That's kind of then telling your body that you have used the energy, you've come up with the danger, you've done it. So then when you let go, you're sending that signal to your brain that actually it's done now. We're relaxed, it's over. And again, it might be that you want to do this 2 or 3 times until you get that sensation of like actual release of like, oh, like as you do it. Sometimes actually pairing this with breath is really nice as well, because you're kind of doing it and you can get that like, like as you do it, as you let go. And that automatically sends a signal to the brain that you are relaxed and you're no longer in, the fight, flight, freeze state is no longer needed. You're no longer in danger. So that's one way of doing it. Another really nice way that I like to do is like clenching your fists. So like imagining that you're squeezing lemons, basically, like you're trying to make some lemonade. You're going to just do it really, really tightly, clenching your fists again for 5 to 10 seconds. And then release. And that's a really, really nice way as well. And I think a lot of people do this without realizing with just simple stretching. Like when you stretch your arms up and you stretch behind your back, or you stretch with your arms in the air and you do little side stretches, again, you're releasing all of that tension out of your body. And you're telling yourself, you're telling your brain that you're in a much calmer state now and that you're able to move on with your day. And an important part is to realize that the stressor obviously hasn't necessarily gone. The stressor hasn't left your environment, but to continue doing these tools and these strategies that help you feel a certain way so that you can come up against this environment stressor, this experience, with a fresh head, fresh new energy, and feeling a lot calmer as well. Really, really important to realize that. Okay. And lastly, last but not least, we have our soul tool. And I'm very mindful of time because somehow I have every intention of these podcast episodes being quite short and sweet, like 20 to 30 minutes. And I think that I get caught up in the moment. I get really excited about what I'm sharing because I always have like notes about what I roughly want to share. And as I'm like elaborating and talking about it, I get a little bit too excited. And these episodes go on a little bit longer than planned. So I am sorry if you are still listening. I appreciate you still being here with me. And we're going to just go into the last strategy for you, which is a soul strategy. So I'm guessing you're probably thinking that I'm going to suggest something like meditation or something like that. And of course, you know, being a spiritual person myself, I see the benefits so much with meditation and it's so, so powerful. But I've also experienced that difficulty as well, where you're like, I'm finding it really hard to switch off. Obviously, that is a sign. That sometimes can be a sign that actually you really, really need it. Your brain needs to quiet if you're really, really struggling to switch off. But actually, sometimes it's like, okay, that can be really helpful sometimes, but sometimes you need something else that can feel a little bit more tangible as well. What I'm actually going to suggest is something called a flow activity. And this is an activity that you notice when you're doing it, that time just seems to like stop. Everything sort of stops around you and you are just fully present in that activity, like fully in it, right? And when I picture this, I don't know if any of you guys have seen the movie Soul, but you know where that scene where they're doing and all the different souls are like doing different things, like someone's playing the piano and they're just completely in flow. That is what I want you to create. This might take a little bit of like prep work for this one, but really sitting down and thinking about what are the activities that I could just do and sit for hours, and time just feels like it melts away. So again, I also want to preface this by saying that try and think about things that are not like Netflix or screen related, because we want your flow activities to be things that fill up your cup, not deplete it. So we want to think about things that are like really wholesome, that like you melt into and you just kind of lose track of all time whilst you're doing them, but that are much more soul filling rather than kind of like more ego driven. So this could be something like reading a good book. It could be like walking in nature. Maybe if you're artistic, it could be painting. Even if you're not that artistic and you can't paint to save your life, I used to love doing painting by numbers. And actually, I found that really therapeutic and I could get quite lost in that. Similar to like colouring, playing an instrument, maybe gaming. But like I said, I really think it's really, really important to steer away from gaming, watching Netflix, anything that kind of activates that different part of your brain. And what's happening when you're doing those sort of things where you feel like time melts away is because there's a massive form of escapism in these, but like escapism in a, like we said, in a way that's more ego driven rather than filling your soul cup up. Because escaping into a really good book is going to really uplift you and, you know, light you up and fill up your soul. Whereas binging on like 10 episodes of something on Netflix will often make you feel really depleted afterwards and really exhausted. And that's because, you know, your brain is firing off so much dopamine from these different things. Like when you're gaming, when you're watching Netflix, you're getting so much dopamine hits from that. It's the same as like spending hours on TikTok, like, or even Instagram, like you're scrolling, you are getting so much dopamine and you are literally, you've lost track of all time, but you're not in a very good headspace from it, right? It doesn't feel good. And actually, a lot of people end up doing this when their mental health isn't so good. They're not having such a good time. You tend to find that you do more activities like that, more things that try to take you away from reality, but in a way that's not filling you up, in a way that doesn't make you feel revitalized and refreshed afterwards, but in a way that makes you feel really depleted. So it's being really mindful about maybe what those are as well. Like your, I haven't got a word for those, but we can think of one together. Maybe like your anti-flows. I don't really know the best way to put it, but like your anti-flows, where they're the ones that you want to avoid because perhaps they are taking you into flow, but not in the way that you want. So we really want to think about the ones that are like really where time just kind of melts away, but you are fully present. You know, you're really grounded. You're really there, right? You're really there in the moment. And the reason why we're thinking about this is because that relieves your brain and provides you with a sense of calm. And when you're feeling low or when you're feeling anxious, having this sort of strategy of flow activity for your soul can be really, really useful in just taking yourself away from the thoughts that you're thinking in your mind, all the stressful thoughts that are worrying, but also sometimes the anxious feelings in your body. Sometimes that can be really, really distracting. So when you do a flow activity, you're kind of moving yourself away from both of those. And I say kind of tapping back into your soul, tapping back into yourself and getting present with yourself, which then relieves those sensations and really helps to distract you. And this is sometimes as well as simple as like a really, really good friend as well, sitting laughing with a really, really good friend, having a really, really good chat. These can really lift you up. And actually, the really thinking about the friends where you feel so much fuller after spending time with them, that can be also a really nice soul strategy for your toolbox as well. So that's all I'm going to leave you with for that one as well. And I really hope that you got something out of this episode. I really hope that you found it useful. I hope that there were some takeaways. As always, I love to do that sort of style of episode so that you have some tangible takeaways. And also thinking about getting some more guests on. So we do have another guest for you lined up, which I'm really, really excited about. If you haven't listened to that episode, that's like two episodes ago where we had our last guest, Scarlett. That was a really, really good episode all about friendships and really thinking about making friends as an adult and what that looks like. If you have ideas of things that you'd like to hear, you know, topics that you really, really craving, getting some support on, we are at that beautiful stage of the podcast where you have so much say, you have so much power in where the brand is going and the community that we're building. And a major, major part of that is you guys listening. Like, you matter so, so much. And having you listening, having you here means that your voice is so, so important. But we would absolutely love to hear from you. So you can definitely get in touch via email now. That's info@thesiscollective. Or you can come find us on Instagram @thesiscollective_. And you will see us on there as well. And you can definitely DM, share any takeaways, share anything that you enjoyed. It absolutely makes my entire week, entire month, when people reach out and they say, you know, I really loved this episode. I really took something from this. I really got something out of it, because it really does matter. It really, really matters when you get that feedback. And yeah, as I said, I hope this episode was useful. I hope that you've got something now for your mental toolbox to have in there where you think, okay, I'm actually going to try that. And it might be that, you know, this comes back into your mind when you're at work, when you're, I don't know, outside in nature. It comes back to you in those moments and you suddenly think, I'm going to try that strategy. I'm going to try and release that and let that go right now. And again, I wish you so much luck with it, because if you do find these useful, then they can be so handy to have in your back pocket. So I really do wish you so much luck with it. I really hope that they work for you, which I have no doubt that they definitely are going to be a powerful addition to your box. So I'm going to leave it there. Do come over and follow at the @thesiscollective_ on Instagram if you haven't yet. Like I said, we do a lot of the polls on there. We think about what we're going to have on the podcast, on stories. So I would really love you to jump over there and join in the conversation and help us grow this little community together, or big community, manifesting it. Let's grow this big community together. And I'm so glad you're here and you're a part of it, and I really appreciate it. So thank you. And I will leave it there, and I cannot wait to see you in the next one. Bye, loves.